you know, and not seeing the connection here, you know, just saying, oh, but this makes my hair more manageable. But it's only manageable for styles that weren't made for your hair texture. It takes me 2 minutes in the morning to do my hair. You know, like how bad.
I find it like borderline.
I can work out. I can make love and get sweaty.
I find it borderline offensive that you're equating straight hair to skin lightening. I really do.
No. But chemically straightening your hair.
Chemically.
What's
yes.
the difference?
So I mean. But how do you make those distinctions? Like, if you look at my hair, you don't know if I have a perm or if I flat iron it. But you're making decisions about me and how much I love myself because I have straight hair. So that
the end result, like whoever the onlooker is, like I think your point is valid that like it's still not their right to put you with this cover on your book that like you're this person or that person because your skin's lighter or your hair's straighter.
Right.
But like I think for me, like there's still a very heavy metaphysical conversation at play, and you are putting acid on your crown chakra.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you're talking about perms again, right? Are you talking about perms?
I am talking about perms. And this the very perm that I could very well have.
I would not care one way or the other whether or not you did that.
No, you won't. But I think it's not so much about how the onlooker sees me. It's the intent behind my actions when I put the perm on my head. Now, so when I put perm on my hair, it's not, I'm going to go outside and the world's going to love me and I'm a whole person now to Jim Smith, who I meet at the light. It's dude, I just wanted my hair straight because I wanted to lay this way.
Right. And it's all good. But so what I'm saying is, you know, natural hair, that is first of all, I don't, like, what does that mean really? Because unless you're really just rocking like a straight natural, like you are, Tiffany, like, if you twist your hair, if you do anything to manipulate, you know, your hair from its absolutely natural, no. This is how it grows out of my scalp.
That's not how I define it.
No, natural hair.
Right. So we all have our various definitions is what I'm saying. But you don't get to tell me how much I love myself based on what it is that I do with my hair.
No, you get to tell me how much you love yourself by what you do to yourself.
Absolutely.
And yes. So if you...
But I don't love myself any less regardless of what's going on with my hair.
Maybe you do. But maybe you do, though. Because if I don't love myself, if I don't use this much bleaching cream and I'm not this tone when I go outside, that's a problem. And there's no, you cannot dispute that.
I find it's problematic for me to equate skin lightening to what you
with
do with
perms?
Your hair.
Really? With permanently straightening
with
your
perms,
hair?
With perms, because I had a perm when I was in the eighth grade, but I cut it off? Yes, absolutely. But I wasn't ashamed of my hair when I had a perm.
I wasn't either, but I was taught to do that.
So these little girls who we're talking about right now who are in school and who haven't been taught, you know, what hair care is, which obviously is a problem. I mean, you know,
and stems from their mamas.
Love. Yes, and that was really the point that I wanted to bring up before we started talking about skin lightening was, you know, it's really about their mothers and their lack of experience and acculturation to really know, you know, what's out there. But I know that my first perm I think I got when I begged for a perm. I had thick hair. I was tender-headed. I cried when I got presses. Mm-hmm. I begged for a perm. And I think when I was 12 or 13, my mom finally let me get one. And I was so just elated about that, you know? But I didn't hate my hair. But I did not hate my hair.
Elated about it.
But no. I didn't. No, but I didn't hate my hair. I was tender-headed. I hated the process of this combing. I hated anyone to touch my hair.
So you equated ease,
which
and
is why I learned. But this is why I learned how to do my hair.
So you equated ease and wearability.
Yeah,
to straight
yes,
hair.
Because I did not know.
That's a problem.
But I learned natural styles. I learned what to do with my hair because I didn't want anyone touching my hair besides myself.
Right.
That was really what it came down to. So I learned how to do my hair. But even with all of that knowledge, I wouldn't look back on my 13-year-old self and say that I hated my hair.
Hate is a strong word. But once you equate a different quality of life to different circumstances, that's where the conversation starts. And you equated ease and wearability to straight hair, which meant that
I equated less hair. Of a less of a headache. Yes.
That's yeah. not a good place to start.
And it's not.
I don't think it was an awful place to start either. And I'm not ashamed of that place at all.
None of us are. Shame is not the requirement. But
if you're talking about skin lightening, that sounds like shame to me.
No, wait.
I don't see the difference.
Hold on. Here's the thing.
I don't see the difference.
Here's the thing. When we're talking about using any sort of chemical process to change anything, I can see the two could be easily equated because you're talking about putting a chemical on yourself.
You are that changes how you are.
But what if I dye
my natural hair? I used to do all the time.
That is another chemical process.
So are we likening dyeing natural hair to skin lightening?
Do you like yourself better as a blonde?
No, it was just something to do.
Well, then we can't. That's what we're talking about: liking or appreciating yourself more in a chemically treated state.
Yeah, and here's the point I wanted to make. Even as you being a perm person in the eighth grade, at this point in your life where you are grown, you do know how to style your own hair. You make the choice now not to, and you have your reasons why. And you would not say now my hair is not manageable or I don't have the ease of managing it because you've learned how to deal with it in its current state. Yeah. So with that knowledge, you probably, I don't know, you might decide one day you do want to go back to a perm. But as of right now in this moment, that's not the choice you make. You've learned how to work with your hair texture as it is. That's what I'm saying.
And what I can't refute is the reality that if you did not think less of yourself, because my concern only lies in intention. And I always talk to folks when they sit in my chair about that. Like, where is your mind now and how is it going to be afterwards? And if you didn't feel any less of yourself, then, like, I think you're probably in the same place I am where that's just a change. Like, you color it, you dye it, you perm it, you relax it, you cut it off. It's hair. And it doesn't carry that weight with you. But when we're talking about these children who have not gone through this state and they've not gone through this growth process and they don't have anybody at home to narrate this growth process, it's a problem. It's a problem because they leave their house thinking, I need a full weave or I'm not going to compete with Lupe in my Spanish class. Right. Like, so... their interaction is different. Their comfort is different. The way they relate to the male counterparts in class is different. Like, it's funny to me when little girls come to me and they get extensions and they get cornrows to their scalp. And then one day, mom says, okay, we're going to do individuals. And when they leave and it's all this swinging and it's all the stuff that they saw their girlfriends doing in school and you didn't have the length to do it, it's like, oh, you feel like a whole person now. That's a problem because that means you didn't feel like a whole person before.
You just got a style that you like? Like, does that disappear? Like, for me, and I've been straight for a long time, and I love the hell out of me, you know. Mm-hmm. But I can also get in the shower and go in my shampoo days. It's just the mood, that vibe I'm feeling that day. But it doesn't take away from who I am. I don't feel less of a black woman.
But you have to grow into that.
But that's what I said. It goes back to being taught. I was taught from day one, baby, you beautiful. Right. My mom didn't let me get my hair pressed till I went to junior high. I was pissed. And she was like, I'm not going to let you do that. And I begged and begged. I thought 13 was too old to have sponge rollers in a blow dry.
Oh.
Yeah. I was just like, let me go. And she was like, no. And I think that's the component that's missing. I've had my insecurities, but my insecurities sure didn't start at my head. My insecurities came somewhere completely different as a black woman.
It started with.
But I think nowadays, especially because we see it every day, I think it kind of begins there. Yeah. Remember when we talked to our special friend?
I agree with you.
And we were trying to say, you know what? This will all come back. Your edges will come back if you just let it rest and wash it and do this. And she came back a week later. With a full-on weave in her head?
No, I agree with that. Remember, I'm just saying there is a place, and we don't see her in Watts, but there is a place where there's a little girl who's playing with hair, who may grow up and be a hairstylist.
Playing with hair? I used to put a slip on my head and play Princess Castle with my brother and sister with a slip on my head. Like, ooh, and I am the princess of the castle, and I got a slip on my head. And I know a whole bunch of little girls who put stockings and slips and all kinds of stuff to pretend on their head.
But no, not to pretend that there's something else. I'm saying, one of my friends who does hair, when the salt and pepper look came out, it was a salt and pepper look. When the blue dookie braids came out, it was a blue dookie braids.
Well,
when the individuals,
fun.
That's what I'm. And she was finding herself. It was never about when she straightened her hair. And she's done the blonde. And she is as dark as, you know, the blackest shirt in the building. And she's done blonde hair because she was playing with herself. And I welcome that. I don't want to shut that down where we're telling little girls, if you straighten it, if you weave it, you're not proud of yourself. So make sure you go right. natural. And I don't want to shut that door of freedom and expression because you're beautiful when you can walk out of there with everything. And the girl who had to weave, who couldn't say she had to weave, that's a problem. Right. I'm comfortable in another bag. It's tracks. But tomorrow you may see me with a slick back. Tomorrow you may see me with braids. And guess what? I'm still feeling beautiful all day long. And that's what's important. We've got to instill that without saying you're beautiful only if you accept
yes.
this. That's the problem. Because I'm not gonna, I got fake acrylics. And I will bite these off at the table and look as hood as all and be like, I'm still beautiful, just having a moment. Popping them off.
Right.
And, I want that to be in the little girls.
That's we have to missing. Have some balance. Yes. I don't think, like, I think I opened this conversation. Neither side needs to feel like they have to defend their choice. Like I said, my hair, I don't think that's required. I've been natural for 12 years. I was pressed before that. I was permed before that. Who knows what this life will present itself? Who knows what choice I will make as I grow older? Who knows? I can't call it. I might stay natural. I might not. And I don't feel like anybody has to explain or defend their choice for what makes them comfortable. If you're comfortable in your own skin and you feel like you look good doing it, and it's not coming from a place of trying to be somebody other than who you are. Because let's keep it very real. I think a lot of this is regional. We're talking about Los Angeles. I'm a Los Angeles girl. Los Angeles is very much a city of pressing curls. We are starting to become more naturally friendly. But when I grew up in this city, you didn't see natural hairstyles outside of individuals and cornrows. Now, let me just fly an hour up north to the Bay Area. I'm hard-pressed to find somebody, man, woman, or child, who is not natural. It's a completely different place. Let me fly 5 hours to my father's city of Detroit, Michigan. I'm going to see a woman who was wearing a green shirt with a green ponytail and a green bang. And when I see her tomorrow, it's going to be hot pink. And when I see her the day after that, it's going to be yellow. I'm not mad at anybody for doing them and just being who they are. If that is your authentic self, then that is your authentic self. And I go back to the fact, and y'all can disagree with me, you can be free to disagree with me. We are the only group that is free to have that level of self-expression. I'm not concerned with what other people do because they are not us. And it's who we've always been. Yes, there was a time when we were not being told or even seeing images of ourselves as beautiful. And the idea of being more European, more straight, more blonde, more length, more whatever, light, tall, whatever. Not girl, sorry, I ain't talking about you. But just like the idea of trying to be more on that track seemed like where it was we needed to be. In 2011, that no longer exists. And the more we start thinking that we have to fit into this mold or not fit into this mold, because I'm not going to front. I think a lot of straight sisters bang on natural sisters. It's this whole like, if you natural, you power to the people. Nigga, no, I'm not.
No.
I may not be power to the people at all. I just choose to wear my hair like this. But that's the automatic assumption. I must smoke weed, burn sage all day long, and got a stack of knock chomper somewhere. And if I do, so what? You know what I'm saying? If I do, so what? You know what I'm saying? But it's the automatic assumptions we make when we see ourselves and what other people have told us that we need to believe about ourselves when we see ourselves in something that's different from us within our own group. The infighting needs to stop because there is no answer. You're not going to come to a happy medium in this debate. We're going to always be at an impasse because there's going to always be somebody on this side of it and on that side of it. I think what we have to do is, again, focus on teaching not only ourselves, but our young girls hair health. Hair health. How do I maintain a healthy scalp and a healthy head of hair where I'm not dealing with missing edges and balding spots and thinning to the point of like seeing my hair, you know, as I get older? There's a wonderful website that I want to big up right now called, and y'all gonna hate this. There's two, actually. There's Naturality. Naturality focused specifically on natural hair. It's another hair care site called Long Hair Care Forum. One, I don't think there's anything wrong with anybody liking long hair or liking short hair. It's your choice. Long Hair Care Forum is just the name of the site. It's not necessarily focused on long hair. What I do like about that site, though, is that it teaches, one, hair types, and overall black hair health, however you choose to wear it. So there are black women on there who are natural, who are pressed, who are permed, and dreadlocked, everything in between. And the whole point is for you to get on there, network with other sisters, find out how you did your style, find out in your city, can I find a stylist who does X, Y, and Z? What products are you using? What products are you selling? And it's a beautiful virtual community of black women who are trying to learn and engage and discuss the idea of us having good hair health. So with that, anybody have anything they want to say in summation?
I just want to say that I'm the naturopathic, you know.
Yes, you are. This is Raina Lott of the Melodic Cypher. Yes.
And I am just very concerned about the use of chemicals on the scalp. That's my thing. That's a health issue for me. And I am very, very concerned about perms, any type of chemical on the hair. So, you know, you talk about the whole healthy hair care, mm-hmm. and scalp hair care and whatnot. And that's just something that I really am concerned about. I, of course, lean more towards the natural, as you can see. I've been locked for 12 years. 12 years, right? Mm-hmm. 12 years. And that's just something that I really try to encourage people to do.
And you know what? Perhaps if more of us, because part of knowing your hair health is knowing what different processes do. Mm-hmm. If we had more information about what the perming process actually does, mm-hmm. to the head, mm-hmm. we could make the correlation between it and skin bleaching, because it's a chemical, mm-hmm. going on the head. Mm-hmm. And even the process, the burn, mm-hmm. that you experience.
Oh, don't scratch your head before.
And like the scabs and the burns and all that sort of stuff. If we know, if we were able to get the information, and Raina, I'm actually put this out on you for the next time we meet. Let's get some information about what that does. And perhaps if more people were aware of the effect that it had. And especially if they see those things mimicking themselves in their own hair, they'll consider or think about or seek out other processes to use to make their hair however style it is that they want to wear.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. I think we all, as black women who have had perms before, because I've had perms in my youth and in my adulthood before I, you know, decided to go natural, I know what it does. And I kept doing it.
It burns. Right.
I used to have an area in the back of my head that always, you know, scabbed up. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, put a little something on here and, you know, cover that hair. Because I had cover it up and keep it moving. And then I'd play in it and get the crust out of there and wash it out. But the next time, 6 weeks later, what was I doing again? I was doing it again. Mm-hmm. So that information's out there. It's not like people don't know that that is something that is, you know, burning your scalp and not good for your scalp, because I did it. And I think everybody here at this table has had a burn. If you've had a perm at some point in time in your life, it's just that decision, you know, no pain, no gain kind of thing going on. But I think everybody at this table is natural. Am I not mistaken? Meaning natural. You were talking about the Brazilian,
but she's growing out of a perm.
Oh, so, you know, natural,
transitioning,
yeah. Which, so, I think, yeah. You know, press, cause I think press and curl is natural to me.
I agree.
Consider press and curl natural to me. So,
but say that because my hair is straight, that I might have some identity issues or I don't love self. Because similarly, to say that your hair is natural implies that you do love self and you don't have identity issues, when the reality is people with natural hair or relaxed hair have identity issues and don't necessarily love self. Mm-hmm. So I just think there's danger in saying that, and it is and can be perceived to be offensive.
So we can all agree.
But sorry, just briefly, I do want to say, because I'm realizing that the issue that I have with likening it to skin lightening is that skin lightening is something that, as far as I know, is completely permanent. And, you know, when I think about all the transitions and various things that I've been through with my hair, like, hair is always something for me that is, like, a constantly changing thing. So I don't care if I cut off however much of my hair that I do, or I do whatever I do with my hair, because it will constantly be changing. So a perm is something that I can cut out and cut off whenever if I have a perm. Mm. But Are there long-term damages to your scalp? I don't know. Maybe there are. I don't know anything about that.
I heard when you dyed,
that would be another conversation.
Like, grows out of your hair and oozes out of your pores. Like, till death, mm-hmm. you have a relationship with sulfur.
From dyeing your hair?
No, from the reaction from putting the chemical on your scalp, like, you can smell sulfur, and like sulfur oozes out of your pores after you die. Like your corpse is there, and it's still permland.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've never smelled sulfur. But what I'm saying is that skin lightening is something that you do that. There's no coming back from that. You have lightened your skin.
Not true.
No,
you have to continually do it. Which is the problem with skin lightening is that people put it, not just do it one time, but continually do it, and it changes the texture of your skin. It makes it almost velvety. It became such a huge issue in certain parts of Africa, actually, among some women, that they actually started a public service like campaign against it, where they would have these huge billboards of women who had these long-term effects of skin, of lightening their skin over the years, and it just totally changed the texture of skin and made it like leather. And women didn't know, little young girls didn't know that this was the end result. So they have these, big billboards up everywhere. So no, it's not a one-time thing. It's something you have to continuously do.
Okay. But I can't cut out a perm whenever I want to. And I don't know that anyone has suffered, any type of serious health issues or concerns from perms. Unless you're talking about scabs.
Well, women who have chemical alopecia, it is not a game. One day you just wanted a perm and you got a perm and your homegirl left it in too long and now your hair won't grow there anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not a game. Mm-hmm. And so, like, really,
Come closer.
Oh, thank you. And so when we're talking about, like, the health of one's hair, like, that's a real issue. Like, minus how I feel about me and all of that great stuff, like, you really are putting, like, the same chemical that will dissolve a Coke can and will clean your car battery on your scalp to straighten your hair. Even with basic things as a part, you've connected your identity to that visual so much that you don't want to remove it. You don't want to try something new. You don't want to try to see yourself in a different light. And that's a crazy place to be when we're ultimately talking about hair.
If the focus is the aesthetic, not necessarily the process.
Because that's what I was going to say. Why do we bang so hard on hair with the chemicals? Because we're all putting chemicals in. If that's
in
the case,
some facet,
then if that's the case, it goes in the category with us drinking alcohol, with us eating fast food, with us eating out, without us not taking care, with us being overweight, underweight, unhealthy skin, makeup, all of that. But why do we bang so hard on hair is my question. Like, because we go hard. Like, I would never go. We're all drinking wine, and I'm not going hard on it. I would never. But if I saw the little girl or 20-year-old rocking the weave, I'm like, stop. You're killing yourself. You're doing this. To some extent. I wonder why are we so, like,
I think we bang on hair because the one thing as black women, and I don't know if this is the point to wrap it up on, but the one thing that we have in common is we got a little extra kink in our hair.
It's our common experience.
It's
our common experience as black women has been told this is our crown. And it's something, it's part of our visual aesthetic. It's a part of what makes us us. And it's big.
Even if it's not the visual, it's the experience, the emotional experience you had in the mirror when you couldn't get what you wanted. When you couldn't mimic that look that you saw in school that the boy that you had a crush on went for that other chick who was a little straighter on the side or whatever, a little kinkier on the side. Whatever the extreme was, you couldn't satisfy that. And it's that conversation that you have with yourself in the bathroom that unifies us. And it's unfortunate because, like you said, it's such a superficial it's thing, but not so much.
But it's real.
Not so much. It's so real, and it's so unique to our black female experience. There's no other ethnic group that, minus our black our Jewish sisters, right. who could come in and be like, yo, it's crazy trying to manage this. Mm-hmm. But, that's not a conversation that we will escape until we collectively decide that we're good enough.
And the thing is that I almost would venture to say that conversation is, I think, will always be at an impasse.
Sure.
Because as long as we have the option to have an option, there are going to be folks who choose to exercise
it. White girls don't have that problem. And folks who don't.
White folks, no, but we can't ever compare our experience to theirs.
But the reality is, if they experience it, there's a possibility. And it's not to strive for their experience. It's the reality that it's possible, that you don't even have to care about your hair.
Right. Yeah. But it's possible. But we live in a society where what would work for us is never going to be the rule. And for all of us that are aware enough and adult enough and conscious enough to say, we get that, I understand the idea of there being a majority and I'm not going to ever fit into that and it doesn't matter to me, I'm going to just do me. We also are going to always have little ones who are influenced by what they see. Despite, take that back. If it's not happening at home, and what's really raising them is what they see, then we're gonna all, there's gonna always be that disparity. It's gonna always be that group where the foundation is not laid. And this is what they see, and this is what they strive to be. All I think we can do is continue to have the conversations and show them the versatility. I'm so glad to be at Skirball this year because they have three black women on staff who all have different looks. And I appreciate some of the conversations I get into with the little girls about my hair because it makes me think they've never seen a black woman with my kind of hair before based on the kind of questions that they ask me. And if I'm showing them something different than what they've ever seen before, great. And if it opens a new world for them as far as hairstyling, great. If it shows them a different aesthetic altogether, great. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just think that that's where we have to be. Look, my real question is, white people with dreadlocks. And that is to be continued on the next 15-minute break. Join us again. We just gave you 51 minutes that I'm going to break up into 5 10-minute segments. Yeah. We love y'all.